come to a dramatic climax in our story of Mirth and Mars. When we last saw our two chorus girl heroines, they were at a special rehearsal called because Margie had been assigned to do a solo number, which was formerly performed by the temperamental South American, Alina. Just before rehearsal, Mirth got two letters. One was from Anne, the girl whose place Marge took in the Chick Chick. The second was in an unfamiliar handwriting. When stage director Ray Hunt was called to the phone, Mirth took advantage of the lull to open the second letter. As she was reading it, Ray, with whom she had just broken off romantically, approached her and said,
"A love letter, Myrtle?"
"No, it's just another explanation. But, Mr. Hunt, I won't wait until tomorrow like you did.
Hmm?
I'll meet you in your office right after rehearsal, and you might have Jack Arnold there."
"All right, I'll do as you say, Myrtle."
"You recognize the postmark on this letter and the handwriting?"
"Yes, my wife's."
In just a moment, we shall continue with the story of Mirth and Mars. Couple of hours later, rehearsal is over. Jack Arnold has just entered Ray Hunt's office, where Hunt is nervously doodling on a scratch pad and doing some deep thinking. Jack says,
"Well, here I am, Ray. I hurried over as soon as I got your call. What's up?"
"I don't know what it's all about, but Myrtle wanted you here, Jack. Sit down."
"Well, Myrtle wanted me? Well, why?"
"Well, I know only this much. I called the Chick Chicks for rehearsal. We were about to start on the first number when I was called to the telephone. Not an important call."
"Uh-huh."
"After I talked to my party, I started back to the stage, and Mirth was reading a letter in the hall. Now, you know, Jack, I've tried to talk to her ever since that night we went to the Pink Angel, but she just won't talk to me."
"Well, then the article in that column must have settled everything."
"She hung up the telephone on me when I called her that day."
"Well, you were a little late with your explanation, Ray." "Well,
can't you see, Jack, that there was no explanation I could make without making myself appear a martyr?"
"Well, I can't seem to find too much sympathy for you. My sympathy's with Myrtle. She loves you, Ray, and I know it, but it isn't a little girl love that can change overnight, and she isn't the type that takes love lightly. She's been hurt badly."
"Perhaps you know me better than anyone else, Jack. You must know that I'm not taking love lightly either. I'm not a playboy. Myrtle overwhelmed me, and that wonderful devotion of hers to little Marge. After knowing her for 10 years as just a chick, it suddenly dawned upon me that I'd never really thought much of any woman until that day when I really saw her. I've spent some uncomfortable moments since, Jack. She's everything I ever looked for in a girl."
"You mean, Myrtle?"
"Well, of course. Who else?"
"Well, never mind. Tell me, why did you let it go on, Ray, without telling her that you were married? I'm asking only the friend of both of you."
"Well, Jack, I meant to every day, but I just... Well, I guess I was afraid I'd lose her. And that day, I intended to tell her."
"A columnist beat you to it. That was a tough break."
"I'm glad you explained things for me. It was better for you to tell her all about it than for me, Jack. If I had told her, it would have looked as though I were looking for sympathy."
"Well, it's an awful mess, and I feel sorry for both of you. I know Myrtle's on the up and up, but... You know, Ray, in show business, the women aren't the kind who fold up and silently nurse a broken heart. They go out and find something or someone to fill the void, a sort of an antidote. They're different that way."
"I guess she hasn't much to wait for, has she, Jack? Now, as a pal, couldn't you sort of look after her a bit?"
"As a pal, Ray, I tell you, I couldn't be trusted too far. Without half trying, I could go for Myrtle myself. But as a pal, I'll refrain."
"Well, Jack, you're free and unattached. May the best man win. We'll shake on that."
"Well, you are more than generous, Ray. Usually a man in love is..." "Oh, it's different. I don't think you need have any fear. She can't see anybody but you, but... We've gotten a long way from where you came back from the telephone. You said Myrtle was reading a letter..."
Oh, yeah. "Yeah, well, I asked her if it were a love letter, and then I noticed she was very pale and seemed frightened. She asked me if I recognized the postmark and the handwriting.
Did you?
Yes. The letter was from my wife.
Your wife, huh? Well, did Myrtle let you read it?
No. She said she'd see me here in my office after rehearsal and to send for you. She ought to be here any minute.
Well, thank heaven it's a girl like Myrtle. Now, if it were Margie that was involved, it... Yeah, women are a great problem, aren't they, Ray?
I've had a great problem for years, Jack. Now, that you know. Wonder what the answer will be.
Well, it's your own fault. In any other state, you'd have been free years ago, free to pick up your life and live it in a happy, normal way. Now, speaking as your friend and attorney, Ray, have you ever thought of moving to some place where the laws aren't so stringent?
Yes, but it would mean giving up my job and... Well, Jack, it would look as though I were running away.
Well, it's just an idea. You've got a big name in show business. For instance, you might establish a residence in the West. A man like you would be received with open arms, and anyone can go to Reno.
You're tempting me awfully, Jack. But, on the other hand, it would mean being away for months from the only woman in the world who means anything to me.
Well, as matters stand now, you might just as well be at the South Pole. Remember, I only made a suggestion. You do as you like about it. Oh, that must be Myrtle now.
Yeah. Come in.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Myrtle. My, you looking charming.
Oh, can that stuff, Jack. I don't look charming. I don't feel charming. And before I get through, you both thoroughly agree that I'm anything but charming. I'm Myrtle Spear, hard-boiled chorus dame at Hayfield Pleasures. I've been in this game for years, gone on my way attending to my own business, and get this, living on my own salary. I'll admit I've met a few men, liked a few, almost thought I loved a few of them. But you can't fool a hard-boiled chorus girl much. Along comes a big shot, the big director of the show. He can choose all the way down from the star. He concentrates on one of the chorus girls, uses her as a means to an end. He has a wife he wants to get rid of. But as a wife, he's just a little bit smarter than the big director. She doesn't want a divorce. She merely wants one Myrtle Spear to pay for alienation of affection. She says she has proof, and I'm to pay to the tune of $25,000. Jack Arnold, will you be my attorney?
No, she can't do it. Jack, you know it's ridiculous.
Give me that letter, Myrtle. Now, calm yourself, Myrtle, until I read it. My dear Miss Spear, I have proof that you and Ray Hunt, my husband, are very much in love with each other. I have been an invalid for years and have been unable to be with my husband in New York, but I have received every consideration due a wife until you came along. My heart is broken, have taken this up with my attorneys, and we have decided...
Oh, I won't even listen to any more, Jack. Myrtle, are you taking that letter seriously?
Well, how would you take it, as a gag? Well, she even mentions the amount of money she thinks it's worth. $25,000.
Myrtle. It's only a warning. She's trying to scare you, Myrtle. Nothing to it at all. If there were, her attorneys that she speaks of would be the ones to write you, and then only after they'd started suit. Now, can't you get the idea? She's just a scheming woman.
Do you think that's all, Jack?
Is there anything I can say, Myrtle?
Yes, you can say au revoir.
Myrtle, that doesn't mean goodbye.
I know it. I know my French. It means I'll see you in show business, Mr. Hunt.
I'll see you every day, Myrtle.
Well, don't get any false ideas. You see me as one of the tick-ticks, and that's all. Jack, how about taking me to tea somewhere? I like you, and don't forget, you're my attorney.
Okay with you, Ray?
I'm okaying this.
Well, where's Margie?
She's at a costume fitting. I'm going to meet her at home for dinner after we have tea. Just to be a good sport, I'll drink tea.
Well, I'll go any place you say, Myrtle. But don't you think Margie ought to come along with us?
Not today. You think I need a chaperone?
No, Myrtle, but I'm afraid that before you get finished, I'll need an aspirin.
Not afraid of me, Jay?
Well, I'm not sure. Seems that I'm afraid of something. Well, we'll be getting along, Ray. I know you're busy.
Goodbye, Mr. Hunt. Now, what's your step? Don't let any cheap little chorus girls catch you napping.
Be careful, Ray.
I will.
Well, here we go.
Yeah. It seems like Margie ought to be with us.
Well, shall I send for her?
No. I guess she'll be safe with me.
Say, look here. I'm free and over 21.
Myrtle, you're dynamite.
You think so? Okay, Jack, let's go. Maybe I'll make a lovely explosion.
the boiling point. And although she is innocent of any wrongdoing, she's terribly upset over the threatening letter she received from Mrs. Hunt. What will be the outcome of this new development? And will Mert and Jack find they have a greater mutual interest than they had thought? There should be quite an exciting time in the next episode of our fascinating story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.